Did the configuration of the armament change much over the years from the A to the
Well, yeah, a lot. Model. I mean, you know, the difference in the having guns and an O's and in the wing. I think the C, BC airplanes had a little different gun arrangement in the wing, and they had some problems with the with ammo jamming, you know, when they were putting them under G and stuff, which led to a redesign in the wing of this airplane, and having the 350s in here and staggering the guns and putting them vertical in there so they fed the ammo better, I believe, and stuff. And I mean, that's really getting into technical stuff that I'm probably not that good at. I'd love to bring one of these guys down here to talk about that instead of me. But
Chuck, you got anything to add?
Well, really, the Mustang Apache was actually a proposed North American name before the Brits got the Mustang, and they named it Mustang. So even the dive bomber, the A-36, is correctly Mustang. I know a guy that got the Air Force Museum to correct that.
Oh.
And I mean, it's just detail, but the Allison Mustangs, people often say they, you know, weren't a good airplane or whatever, but the British used them all the way through 1945 and loved them, but they used them below 15,000 feet where they were, you know, strong. I mean, they ran out of gas at 15,000 because of the single stage blower, and that's the whole switch to the Merlin. But their airplanes used for a different purpose were both great airplanes, and they used a lot of Allison Mustangs in China as well. And other than that, you know, everybody knows the histories of the D's and C's pretty well.
Yeah.
The other one thing is the original Miss Kitty was a K, so the prop would be different. This is a D model, but I mean, that's virtually the only difference other than being made in a different factory.
We've got time for some questions. Anybody got some questions? Yes, sir.
Yeah, Warren, can you guys talk about the museum where these beautiful aircraft are kept and where people can visit and see them?
Thank you. That's a great idea. So these things are in Minot, North Dakota, Dakota Territory Air Museum. We started in 1986. We have a pretty nice facility, about 55 airplanes on display in there, and about anywhere between 12 and 15 warbirds at any one time. And the warbirds all fly, and about half of the vintage and civilian airplanes fly. And we do a lot of educational stuff. We do ACE and PACE camps with kids and everything, and the airplanes allow us to really bring that honoring the veterans and showing the history of stuff out there, plus getting them out here on the road. So anybody wants to come up there, I like to say it's currently the showroom for Air Corps Aviation. They build them and then we fly them over there and put them on display over there. So it's got a lot of people involved in it. Casey Odegaard is over there. He worked on Miss Kitty. Did a ton of work on it and his family.
Yes, ma'am.
I had a question for you.
Can you tell us a little bit about the restoration process? It was really impressive to see Lopes Hope make the debut at Oshkosh a couple years ago, and it's really cool to see Miss Kitty here too. Did these restorations essentially start from the ground up, and how long did they take?
They started from the ground up. There are a lot of original parts in there. These guys would be, again, better suited to answer that question. I'm going to say that an average rebuild on a Mustang is about 5 years, would be my guess on there. I think that now, as they've done so many more of them, they can, if they're duplicating a restoration they've already done, they can shorten that period. But as Air Corps did this, and Casey did it with his company and things, you know, they're building special tooling for each airplane and everything takes
Eric.
Time. So Eric Trueblood or Eric Hocuff is going to speak to that question.
The genesis for the airplane is, you know, often a little bit different with each airplane that we're working on, but we're fortunate in that there's a community of people who, none of these airplanes fly without a basis of shops doing great work. It's not just Air Corps Aviation. It's Casey Odegaard. It's engine shops. It's overhaul shops, accessory shops. Those things kind of come together in harmony to bring something like this to life. But we're pretty talented when it comes to the structure side of the airplanes. We can find parts all over the world, and it's a real honor to do airplanes, though, that have meaning beyond the airframe, so they have a story. Unfortunately, we never got to meet John Rosenbaum. We never got to meet Don Lopez. But those, when you're working for people who you enjoy working with, and when you're honoring people through the airplanes, things to come together very nicely. And the story beyond the airframe is what Bruce allows us to really run with, and that's really the special piece to this.
Yeah, for us, that's one of the distinguishing factors in working with Air Corps and the restorations that we do is that they have a full-time historian, Chuck Cravens, over here, and for us, that's as important a part of the restoration as all of the physical aspects of that plane. And that's why, like, for instance, it's so important to us to bring those people alive that flew these planes, that were with the people that were flying them. And that's why we really feel so lucky that Miss Kitty is still here and sharing her story and making that life of the pilot that flew these things come alive. Because there was Miss Kitty sitting there talking to us. And that's that focus and that of a restoration is just as important as everything else, and that's important to us, and I really hope you enjoy that part of
it. Well, Bruce, while you're bringing that up, tell us, but what was your motivation for forming the museum to start off with?
Well, first, I didn't form the museum. I was lucky enough to meet Warren Peach and become involved with the Dakota Territorial Museum, because I couldn't do what I've done with the planes if I didn't have a great relationship in with the Dakota Territorial Air Museum and sponsor that and work with them on maintaining these planes and displaying them and flying them around the country. But I think it's just like a lot of you guys in the audience. I mean, I'm of the age where when I was a kid, you know, I and all my friends, all our fathers were in World War II. They were on aircraft carriers or in the infantry or you name it. And so at backyard barbecues or family gatherings and stuff like that, you know, we'd always be sitting there hanging on all the stories. When these guys would kind of go walk over to the side and start talking, you know, we'd be under the table or behind the bushes or sitting behind a couch listening to these stories. And so I just you grow up with that and building the models and so on. And it wasn't until later in life that after going to the air shows and going to all the autograph tents and for years and years and years, that I became successful enough in my business that I realized I could actually get involved and support
Contribute.
And continue this tradition and keeping this alive. And it's just been a great adventure.
Would you call yourself a caretaker of these airplanes?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I got to say something here. I think we're probably running short on time.
No, we got all kinds of time.
Okay.
We got to 1 o'clock.
I want to talk about the question you brought up about what it takes to restore these airplanes can be a technical question, or it can really be the big picture question. And it starts, you can either start at the top and work your way down, or bottom and work your way up, or however you want to look at it. But there are so many people with so much passion involved in what goes into these airplanes, you can't imagine. There's guys standing over here, the pilots that fly them, Casey and Doug and Sam and Bernie, and that help maintain the airplanes, that when we're done with them, they clean them and stuff. It's not a job to them. It's something that's so important to them. The guys that are building them have the same attitude that Bruce just expressed about how important it is to be able to be involved in the airplanes, and how we feel that we're going to go away. We hope the airplanes stay to tell the story forever. We want this stuff to go on, and we're so fortunate to be able to have Kitty up here telling that story while we've still got those stories. I was fortunate enough to get into the Warbird stuff long enough ago that, like 92 or something like that, a lot of the vets were very young, and they were just starting to come out of their shell. You know, we recognize PTSD and a lot of things now that weren't addressed back then, but it was there, and it was there in a big way. And so many times those veterans would come to an airplane. I had a TBM for a while, and they would come to the airplane and tell me things that their wife and children had never heard. And that goes on today. It continues on. These airplanes continue doing that job, and the people that are supporting them, building them, flying them, and being around them do that. And if we can continue to record that and to bring those stories to the next generations and keep pushing it out there, that's what's so important about it. And it's almost, you can't hardly quantify it in time, money, or effort. It's just a combination of everything to make this happen. And you know, the stands, you see me looking at these guys for information. It's what I do on a daily basis. I'm such a small part and know so little about what's going on with this stuff that I have to constantly lean on every member of the team to know what the next step is and what the next direction is. We don't always know. Next year there's going to be maybe a Razorback P-47 coming out of Air Corps that's going to be like that or better when it's done. And we're really looking forward to doing that and telling that story. And that's a Pacific veteran. So there's just a lot of things that are coming, but they continually develop. And we really appreciate you folks coming out and doing this.
Well, folks, we want to thank Chuck, Warren, and Bruce. Particularly, we like the way you spend your money. Thank you, folks, for coming.